fears. David Sedaris, Bailey White, Scott Simon, these and other voices of NPR past and present telling stories of the season in an hour-long Christmas special. I'm Lynn Neary. Join me for Tinsel Tales from NPR.
Tuesday morning at 10 on AM 580.
You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WIOL. The morning of this, beginning with the classic morning prelude, the morning of classical music on FM 90.9 begins right now. No opening market report this morning. We'll continue with morning edition in just a moment. Coming up, California is scaling up its energy storage systems in order to accommodate rapidly increasing supplies of variable power from solar and wind. In the forecast today, partly sunny skies, colder, the high around 22 degrees. Tonight, bitterly cold, the low 2 degrees, wind gusts up to 15 miles an hour, the wind chill 5 to 15 below. Sunny skies tomorrow with a high of 17 and wind chill readings of 5 to 15 below zero. Mostly cloudy skies tomorrow with a slight chance of snow after midnight tomorrow night, the low 16, mostly cloudy Christmas Day, chance of snow, the high 32. 21 in Danville, 20 in Decatur, it's 20 on Friends Plaza at 8:51.
NPR's business news starts with China getting a bigger bite of the apple. Technically, it may be Apple getting a bigger bite of China. In any case, China and Apple have announced a deal to bring the iPhone to the world's biggest wireless network. This agreement gives Apple access to China Mobile's 700 million plus customers. One company with twice as many customers and more than there are people in the United States. That's a big boost for Apple, which has lagged behind Samsung and local brands in the Chinese market. The iPhone's high price has put it out of reach for many Chinese consumers. And neither Apple nor China Mobile have announced pricing. China Mobile will begin registering orders for iPhones this week.
And California is becoming a more lucrative market for companies that specialize in energy storage. That state has plans to get a third of its electricity from renewable sources like wind and solar by the end of this decade. But the lights need to stay on even when the wind isn't blowing and the sun's not shining. And so the State Utility Commission has called on utilities and private companies to install tons of batteries or other energy storage technologies to help the grid cope. As NPR's Richard Harris reports, this creates a big business opportunity for some little companies.
The new California rules that require batteries to be added to the power grid also specify that some of that storage capacity has to come from private companies. So I'm checking out a company called Stem, which is in Millbrae, California, which is right across from the San Francisco airport.
My name is Tad Glothier, and I'm the Vice President of Customer Development at Stem.
And Stem is what?
So Stem is a distributed energy storage company. We make a product that reduces electricity bills for businesses.
Stem is one of a number of California companies trying to figure out how to make money with batteries. As the sales pitch suggests, this company's first priority is to focus on individual businesses, not the power grid as a whole. To explain how their plan works, Glothier takes me to a couple of large computer monitors hanging on the wall.
The monitor on the right is showing the electric load from the car wash across the street.
And the graph is very spiky. There are lulls when the car wash is waiting for business, punctuated with big jigs and jags.
And if you look at just the range within the last 15 minutes, that's an incredible amount of volatility that the utility has to serve them, you know, that electricity.
And it turns out that the car wash has to pay extra on its electric bill for those times of big demand. All companies get billed for their peak use as well as their total electricity consumption. So if the car wash can shave off those power peaks, they can also shave this charge off their electric bill. Stem's solution: kick in some battery power to reduce peak energy usage. The battery packs they install in businesses look like glitzy gym lockers.
This is the brains of the operation. It's about the size of a shoebox. And I'll open it up so you can see inside.
Not much to see in the box, mounted next to the battery. It's a tiny computer, which is linked to the internet. The computer's job is to pull current from the battery during peak moments and then recharge it through the grid when a company's usage is low.
They're still using power with the STEM system. They're not using less power with any energy storage system. They're not using less power. They're just using power in a more level way.
And by doing that, the company is reducing the part of its bill that's based on peak power usage.
To be blunt, is this just gaming the system? Or if you actually manage these loads, do you actually help the local utility save money by not having to generate quite as much electricity at those peak moments?
You absolutely help the system.
Well, Glauthier may be getting a little bit ahead of himself here.
Right now, it does only help the customer.
Haresh Kamath is a battery guru at the Electric Power Research Institute in nearby Palo Alto. He says batteries will eventually help the state power grid deal with the ups and downs of electricity supplies from wind and solar, but it will take a lot of battery power to make a difference. That's exactly why the California Public Utilities Commission has called for billions of dollars of batteries and other electricity storage technologies to be installed between now and 2020.
If you get a small energy storage system in everybody's home or in every business, then that can have a substantial impact on the grid as a whole. Of course, right now it's difficult to do that because it's a relatively expensive product.
Everybody's hoping that creating this huge demand for batteries will also help drive down the cost. Batteries can help with short-term power fluctuations, say when a cloud passes over a bank of solar panels, or if the air goes still at a particular wind farm. And they can help keep the power grid stable as operators work to match supply and demand second by second. Back at STEM, Glauthier gives me a lightning tour of the startup, which occupies an abandoned discount store showroom.
So we have business development, field installations, a software group, and a hardware integration group.
Glauthier says they have only installed 10 systems so far, but they have 150 more orders in the works. And once they reach a critical mass, STEM then has another way to make money. They will be able to control all the batteries they install from one central location. Then they will essentially have control over a giant virtual battery, one big enough to help stabilize the electric grid. And the grid operators will pay for that service, eventually.
It's taken us 4 years, 4.5 years to get here. I think there's at least another 3 or 4 years to go before we're really blowing the doors off, or anyone is in this industry.
They do have competition, including Tesla, which has teamed up with a solar company to get into this business. And the race here is not simply to refine battery technology, but to invent business models that will make this fly. Richard Harris, NPR News.
And today's last word in business is Hanes Hummus. You might think the underwear maker Hanes would be worried about competition from Jockey or Fruit of the Loom, but they have another food in mind. Hanes is far more concerned about being confused with chickpea dip. The American manufacturer has threatened to sue a tiny Canadian company, Hanes Hummus, for trademark violations.
An attorney for the small company in Canada responded in a letter. His name's Nathan Dooley, and he said he wasn't aware that Hanes brand products are actually edible. So if Hanes made it on your wish list this holiday season, you might want to clarify whether you're looking for socks and underwear or some tasty tahini. That's the business news on Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm David Green. Steve, have you recovered from laughter today?
No. I'll just, please, continue.
I'm David Green.
I'm Steve Inske.
Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and from CarMax, offering more than 35,000 used cars and trucks, online and in stores from coast to coast. Learn more at CarMax.com. From St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, dedicated to finding cures and to saving children's lives. Learn more at stjude.org. And from The Weinstein Company, with August Osage County, starring Meryl Streep and Julia Roberts, in select cities December 27th, everywhere January 10th. This is NPR.
What do Adlai Stevenson, the Underground Railroad, the Orphan Train Movement, and the old-time radio show Vic and Sade have in common? They all have a connection to Bloomington Normal, and they've all been written about by Pantograph history columnist Bill Kemp. The Pantograph has run over 400 of Kemp's Page from Our Past columns, and Bill Kemp will talk about some of the highlights on an encore edition of Focus. That's Focus Monday morning at 10 on AM 580.
Partly sunny in Champaign-Urbana today. Colder conditions, a high of 22, winds up to 15 miles an hour. Tonight, bitterly cold, the low 2 degrees. Wind chill readings make it feel like 5 to 15 below. Sunny skies tomorrow, a high of 17, wind chill 5 to 15 below. Mostly cloudy tomorrow night with a chance of snow, the low 16. On Christmas Day, mostly cloudy, a chance of snow. In the morning, the high 32. 20 in Decatur, 20 on Friends Plaza. This is Illinois Public Media, WIOL and WIOL. 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD3, Urbana.
World Service, it's Hard Talk with me, Stephen Sacker. Over the past 5 years, my guest today has enjoyed a reputation as the fastest man on two wheels. Mark Cavendish is a cycling phenomenon, an explosive sprinter, a world champion, and the winner of more Tour de France stages than any other Briton. He has a reputation for blunt talk in a sport that has been tainted by illegal drug use. Has cycling really cleaned up its act and thrown out the cheats?
Anywhere where there's financial gain, you're going to get people who cheat. If you put the time, the effort, and the money into catching cheats, you'll catch your cheats. And if you want to expose them, you can expose them. Now, I tell you, what cycling did in the past, if it did, it didn't do the test, and if it did do the test, it caught people and said, oh, it's going to damage the image of our sport, so we'll sweep it under the rug. You know, are you saying cycling's the only sport that's ever done that?
That's Mark Cavendish on Hard Talk after the news.